Amen, guys. All righty. I don't have a long sermon on hand yet this morning. You'd be glad to know because we're at 11 o'clock and stuff. But let me just get there before I'm going to read out of that passage. Yeah, we're doing spiritual work here. So tomorrow is Freedom Day. And I know I don't like being dictated to by worldly patterns and what we need to do at church, but I felt to speak on freedom a little bit and just to go into that kind of topic a little bit and understand what that is. So the question is, what is freedom? What is it? Okay. Here's a few examples of what the world will say and what definitions will give and defining the word freedom. Not being bound by that which restricts you. Okay. The power of the right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Okay. Absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic, which is a tyrannical or autocratic government, which speaks to someone like William Wallace. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. And he's on his horse there. Come on, we're going to go fight those people. Why? Because he's fighting for freedom because of some tyrannical government. Another definition, the power of self-determination attributed to the will or the quality of being independent of fate or necessity, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. A lot of that talk about freedom is basically, I can do what I want. Okay, I'm free to do what I want. Okay, but we understand it doesn't always just work out like that, right? Okay, I'm just going to read some verses and we're going to talk into these things a little bit here. I don't know why this thing's feeling a lot blurrier and I don't want to put my glasses on and off. So I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to make the font bigger. Oh my goodness. Did I just do that? No. 2 Corinthians 3. I read it already. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, how being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Okay? Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Okay, the bondage of religion and the order and the system that was binding people. Freedom is found in Christ. 1 Peter 2:13 says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Okay, whether it be the emperor as supreme, meaning the president of our country, or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. So there's the problem with our government straight away. They praise those who do evil. Okay? So we are not fully submitting because they are evil in their context. But the verse keeps going. For this, because that's the order of government. The order of stuff in place, that's what they're called to do, is to punish those who do evil and to put a justice system in place that allows people to live freely. Okay? But it says in verse 13, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should be put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love your brother. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Okay, that's a very challenging kind of passage there. Okay, but talking on freedom. Who has ever heard of a man called Giorgio Rosa? That is the best Italian I will ever give you. Giorgio Rosa. Anyone heard of the man? No. Who said yes? No. No one's heard of Giorgio Rosa. You know what Giorgio Rosa did? He was an engineer student in Italy. And in the mid-1960s, he built himself an island. Okay? And his island was just outside of the jurisdiction of Italy's law on the 6 nautical miles out at sea. And he built an island just outside of that. And he declared himself a free state. Not the free state, okay? An independent state. And he said, I am not under the jurisdiction of Italy, and I'm free. And on the 1st of May, 1968, after he built it for a few years, with a few mates of his, he had his own country. He elected himself as president. They made a passport. on the island. Okay, these are the things that happened. Okay. He had his own language. They had a postal service. They had a restaurant. Okay, you can see what the island was. It was 400 square meters in size. This room's about, it's about 30 by 20 and stuff. So you're looking at 40 by 40, right? Meters, slightly bigger than this hall. That was his island. Okay, but on the island, he had a souvenir shop, a restaurant, a bar. It was like a nightclub, basically. And he used to boat people out there that spent the day on his country. Do you think the Italian government enjoyed what he was doing? But here's something he said, okay? The land is, and he claimed now the government were clearly like bothered by this guy. His claim was that his island had absolute freedom. He says, because you guys are bound by conditional freedom. Okay? You're all bound, restrictive, archaical, irrelevant to the modern world freedom. I want to be free from all your kind of stuff, so I built my own island. Okay? So in about June 1968, the government took over his island. And then by February 1969, they tried to dismantle it, but they blew it up and it sunk. Game over. Done. Okay, but I'm giving you the reason, the story on purpose. Because he was trying to find freedom. Okay, was he going to find freedom? If you want to watch, it's actually a movie on Netflix. I don't know what it's called. It's called the island. It's called Rose Island. You'll find it on Netflix. Fascinating. Interesting cat. Engineer student, okay? And they eventually blew it up. So this concept of freedom. Okay, freedom feels like I'm always trying to grasp to something. So a lot in South Africa and around the world today is a lot about freedom of speech. I can say what I want. But actually, you can't always say what you want. Because someone's going to disagree with you and call sorts of cards on you, all sorts. Then there's the whole thing of financial freedom. Everyone's living for the day of financial freedom.
No money.
No money. So we're not free. Are we not free? We're bound. Okay? Freedom from slavery. Okay? In a way, we're all slaves to a system. We're all slaves to a system here. All paying off something, a bond, a car, or something, you're owing money to somebody. Okay? We're not all free. Okay? Tomorrow, as I say, is Freedom Day. So is South Africa free? Are we free? Free state? And then there's freedom of religion. There's a lot about freedom. A lot about freedom. Okay, we need to be aware that what the world calls us freedom and what the world pursues in this term and word freedom, okay, is not how God's people view the word freedom. It's almost literally polar opposites of understanding how we do things. Because the world's narrative of the word freedom is rooted in rebellion. It's don't tell me what to do. I don't need to adhere to who you are, and I'm going to do what I want because I have my truth. I have the way I see the world. And we live in a happy little bubble thinking everyone believes and thinks we should believe, live like you do. No, but you're 1% of the population. Sit down and keep quiet. That's what happens. Okay? The rebellion of a free-for-all, rioting and anarchy or accepted behavior because we're standing against something that we don't agree with. So we can cause all that in the name of freedom. Wow, okay. See, our freedom as believers is rooted in the beautiful thing of obedience to the way the Lord has set in order. Okay, freedom is to do good, okay, or to omit the bad, okay, having no relationship, omitting the bad things that have no relationship to salvation. Okay, that's the point of freedom, is to keep doing the good, but omit the bad things that are not linked to an understanding of salvation. And here's a good line. True freedom is living as we should, not as we please. Just do what I want to do because I want to do it on my own terms. We had always had this thing for school. Don't tell me what to do. I am who I am. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and who to I want to do it. It's that like, don't stop me. Understanding. So think of somebody who has excessive wealth and they have a lot of money that just keeps flowing in every month. They will live regardless of worrying about costs. We all look at people that go, oh, to be free financially like that And we look at people like that and we wish that one day we could also be in a position like that. Okay, but here's the reality. The moment that source of income stops or dries up, what happens? Immediately, they're bound. So they're actually not free. The money didn't give them freedom. The money just gave them a lifestyle. The money just gave them a way to live. Okay, now what started happening? When the money dries up and they've got no, what starts happening? All these kind of weird behaviors start happening. Anxiety. I wasn't anxious before. Now I'm anxious. Okay. Shame kicks in because now they've clearly failed. There's guilt because things are going wrong. They're hiding it. Not telling people actually what's going on. And they hide things and they carry on. But they were free. So you realize very quickly, folks, physical, material, money possessions does not give you any freedom. It just helps you to live. Don't ever think that if you have lots of money, you'll be free one day. You will be more bound than ever before. I promise you. What's the stats with the lottery? 90% that have won the lottery are worse off now before they had the lottery. Because they didn't know how to steward their freedom. They didn't know how to steward that was given to them. Okay, so let's go back to the 27th of April, 1994. It was a powerful and a beautiful day in South Africa. If they're understanding that there was something like not one crime was reported in South Africa that day. That was beautiful. Have we stewarded our freedom? Okay, because freedom is not based upon a few people making a few decisions for us. An understanding of how things work out. Okay? Because we say South Africa is a free country. Okay? But within this freedom and the way this country works, there are a set of rules and laws that are put in place to ensure society operates at a standard and a level that everybody can live in safely and securely. That's how it works. So seeing we're talking about roads, let's talk about the roads. Okay? There are rules on the roads for a purpose. Why? Because you're not the only car on the road. You're not the only guy or lady that's driving there. There are way too many cars in Cape Town. Cape Town is the most congested city in South Africa. Its stats have proven that. And there's always traffic. Okay? I actually explained this to the Alpha group yesterday. As we stopped at the Wimpy, and I like a little breaky there on the way to Alpha in the morning. And then we stopped, went to the bathroom, and there was a traffic cop coming from the bathroom to the door. And I walked, I said, no, really, off to you, sir. Yeah, please come through. And I always think of your name, Maxine. I'm thinking, if only you knew, I know Maxine. You step on the line, Carl, and stuff. But he was a good guy, I didn't get his name. And I said, have a great day, sir. And I thought about this. I thought, what people do, when you've got fines outstanding, okay, this you are guilty because you know you've done wrong on the roads, you avoid traffic officers. I was like, yeah, come through. No, I don't have any fines outstanding. I'm just saying. But I watch people on the roads, and there's a traffic cop driving, and they're going, wow, traffic comes. They drive past the traffic officer at the right speed, and they go around the corner. Wow, there's a shoot off again. And go. It's like, because the law's watching you, because it's watching you, you behave. And the moment it's not watching you, you just do your own thing and stuff. I don't want to know what you guys deal with on the roads. The people do stuff. The things that carry on and play out on the roads. But what we do is that when we're guilty, we avoid. And we don't want to deal with it. But the laws are set in place to actually set order. And to actually make it work for everybody. It's not there to restrict you. It's actually there so it works for us. That all can operate in that environment that works so everybody can flourish. Again, the same thing. Okay, so we say South Africa is free, but we have a plethora of government officials that are corrupt. Okay, we have one of the highest murder rates in the world. We have one of the highest rape rates in the world. Okay, we have one of the highest unemployment rates in the world. We have a very high level of poverty through our whole nation. Are we free? We are far from free. Because freedom is not rooted in outside stuff. Freedom is rooted from within. And the heart of this nation has to find freedom, not in stuff, not in fighting for a political agenda, not in fighting for narratives that the world says. No, it's rooted in God. It's rooted in Christ. This is why the church is a voice. This is why the church is an answer. This is why the church was so instrumental in 1994. Because we were on the brink as a nation in going to, we were going to civil war. The fights were playing out. I was a kid. I remember watching the news thinking, this is crazy. I have like flashbacks of watching newsreels and thinking, man, it was chaos. And it wasn't only black on white. It was chaos across our nation. But God stepped in. And if he's done it once, folks, he can do it again. This thing that's playing out in Iran right now, you must realize that what's playing out here is going to, it's causing global shifts to happen. Global shifts are starting to happen. Well, by running and sucking the money dry from Iran, it's going to affect our government. Do you know that our last elections, we got sponsors from Iran to be able to, the ANC to actually only partake in the elections because they had no money. So you drive the money up, we're going to see a change. This is a global shift that's playing out. Okay, that's happening across. So the question for South Africa, and I'm speaking on this point, this is a political sermon today and stuff, that are we really free? One of the biggest issues in our country is the justice system. Yes. As I speak to you earlier about that Peter passage, the justice system has to operate. If a government is set in place to deal with evil and to deal with, it says they're foolish people that do foolish things. When you set that right, people who do good flourish. But the people who do good in our nation are stuck because of people of the justice system's not working. Okay. No one pays for a wrong they commit. And we did, as I say, see a miracle on the 27th of April, 1994. I just turned 18 2 months ago and I was able to vote. It was a really powerful moment. So the Bible is very clear. When you wrong someone or serve an injustice, you need to pay for that. Okay, you pay. If you spilt somebody's blood, the Bible says your blood will recompense you. It will be a payment towards that blood. Now let's go, if you've ever, and I'm sure you are, reading the Bible. Excuse me, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus being the hardest, full of rules. Rules and rules and rules upon rule about how things should work and how things should operate. Okay, and most nations hate to admit this. I watched a clip a little while ago of a guy on some panel speaking about this, and I couldn't find it this morning. But the reality is that most countries around the world, their foundation for all their laws and rules are based on Judeo-Christian principles, which are all found in Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Leviticus. Because when God wrote and gave Moses the unction to write these things down and the Mosaic law that was presented to people, God wasn't thinking, now you better listen to me, Israelites. I'm giving you how this thing is going to work out. I'm giving you what you know, so you don't step out of line. No, he was giving them all that because you know what? He knew what the human being was like. He knew they weren't going to get it right. He knew they were going to stumble and fall, but he gave them patterns and orders. You read in one part in Leviticus, it says, if you're walking in a field and you find a dead body, I'm like, and now, oh, what do I do now? Oh, there's a dead body in the field. What do I do? All right, so what do? You measure to the closest city, and in that city you find the judges, and you work out if you can't find out who it is, and it gives explanation to almost everything that life deals with us, and you'd face in life. Okay, those rules and laws are set in place so that we can govern, and actually have an order that we can flourish in. This is why the church is the government of God on this earth. That's why we must uphold and fight for things in the truth. I can see you struggling that this is more political today. I'm getting to the real meat. Okay? All right. Biblical laws were not written so God could control the people and see them fall miserably. No, he wrote because he knew what people were like. It started in the garden. Have everything. It's all yours. Except that. And what did they do? What's that? Well, that looks nice. Why? Because we have an enemy. And the enemy knows how to deceive. And the enemy knows how to tempt you. And he knows how to draw you in so that you walk away from the goodness of God and choose things outside of the parameters of what he set, and you choose something outside of that. It's called sin. Everything in our country is rooted in sin. All of it. And there's only one way the penalty of sin can be paid, and that's through the blood of Jesus. And when the blood of Jesus redeems sin, it redeems people. And people are redeemed, and then a nation sets its course. But it's sin that plays out in every single way. And the enemy knows this. Okay, and I'm sorry now I'm ranting about freedom and physical freedom, but there's a big difference between physical freedom. I can say what I want. I can have what I want. I can live free. I can do what I want. To the power of living and understanding spiritual freedom. The root about who we are and what God has called us to be. So what is spiritual freedom? God, this room is so quiet. What is spiritual freedom? Okay. We went through this. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That is freedom. Because you all fell short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All of you fell short. None of you could pay the price in your own strength and your own works and trying to do it yourself. No, it was by grace that you've been saved, not by works that you're going to boast in how good you are. It's through the final and complete work of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, that is freedom. And I'm so thankful I have that freedom. Because that, you know what? That freedom makes me a better citizen for this country. Because I walk from that position and serve the community and the nations from that position. That's how it starts. As I said, it's all rooted in sinful behavior in South Africa. Sin. We got stealing, lying, murdering, coveting, disobeying, adultering, ancestral worship, idols, blaspheming the name of God, never at rest, people always hurrying all over the place, no honoring of parents. Because the world's term of freedom is rooted in rebellion. I do what I want, when I want, how I want, and to do what I want to do. Rebellion. But we as God's people, our true freedom is rooted in our obedience and surrender to our King of Kings. Now, all those words that I read out there, stealing, lying, murdering, coveting, disobeying, adultering, ancestral worship, idols, blaspheming the name of God, never resting, no honor of parents. What is that? It's the Ten Commandments. Every one of those touch on the Ten Commandments. There's an order. There's a standard being set on how we live and what we adhere to, okay? But we failed at that. We failed at that. Every one of us have failed at those Ten Commandments. Because my neighbor did arrive with a nice car and I coveted at that car. I'm like, man, that's a nice car. I would like that, eh? You're looking at me like you don't do anything wrong today. Like, wow. Yeah, we'll pray for me afterwards, yeah. And it's not even a Grand Prix to go home to this afternoon and to relax, you know. And stuff. We've all fallen short, folks. But, Jesus said these powerful words in Matthew 5:17. Because he came to fulfill it. To fulfill the law. Everything is rooted and found in and through him. So he said these words in Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law. I'm not kicking it to touch, going, do away with all that. It's done. I'm here now. Or abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth passes away. That's a big statement because it's here for, and it's been here for centuries. Not an iota. Not a dot. Nothing will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless the righteous exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a parallel that Jesus has fulfilled everything. Everything written in Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, all those laws that man couldn't uphold, the freedom is found in Jesus because he's fulfilled all that in a person on the cross, paid for all of it. And he says, not one dot, not one, not what, not like one little thing, but we must obey this, keep that, and we got to do that, and we a little bit here, and says, no, all of it is rooted and found in Jesus. Not a portion that you like doing this part and that part. No, it's in Jesus. The person, the risen Christ, the Savior is found in him, fulfilled in him. feel like that whole thing. Do you know him? Do you know him? That's my king. Hey, that's my king. Because if you don't know him, you're going to try and look for works. You're going to try and fit by the law to try and please him. You've got to know him. I want to read to you Romans 7. It's a long section, but I'm going to read it on purpose. Because this is Paul writing here when he says, what shall we say then? That the law is sin? No, by no means. Okay, listen carefully to his words here. It can be confusing, but he's talking about sin, the flesh, and what the law has done in highlighting it. If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. The law brought about sin. Only because of the law you realize that you've fallen short and your sinful nature. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the Lord not said, you shall not covet. But sin seized an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. That very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He followed the law to its very bitter. What he's saying now, me following that to the very best of my ability, he says, I didn't find life, I died. Because I couldn't find it through that. Because the law highlights my death and my sin. For the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? No, by no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. Now we all know this, okay? For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. We've all been there. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all try really hard, and then we stumble and fall. We try really hard. That's the reality of sin and the law highlighting it to us, and it brings us to death. So I find it to be law that when I do right, evil lies close at my hand. For delight in the law of the Lord in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? When you're having an argument with your husband, that's not the verse you quote to him, right? Wretched man that you are. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Wow, how depressing, Paul. Bro, you just don't gain victory here. You kind of try really hard, but then you do the things you don't want to do, and you try really hard, but thank goodness he carries on in chapter 8. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We are constantly waging against the reality of sinful nature. But in Christ you now have a nature of Christ in you. Okay? That's the power, what he's given us and what he's done for us. Okay? But the thing is, you see, is that you need to steward freedom. If we're honest, our nation hasn't stewarded our freedom. Okay? Freedom is not, oh, I've got it now. No, because you've got an enemy. You've got an enemy who hates you. You've got an enemy who is against you. And he wants to make sure you fall into this sinful kind of depth of death and sin and lead you to death. But thanks be to God who's brought us out of death and into life, and we can steward the beauty what he's given us, because freedom is that safe playing field. Rebellion is that one that wants you to play outside the parameters that God's given us to kind of walk in. And I said to you, like, the enemy uses temptation to lead us. He has the best marketing team than any company in the world. He knows how to lure you in. Advertising and marketing has been a massive thing over the last 100 and plus years. But the enemy's been a master at it for years. He knows how to lure you in. And then when you get there, you're like, it's not what you thought it was. Who's bought something like that from Temu? It's a lot smaller than the picture. What's all that about? That's what happens. Yeah, true story that, eh? Why? Because it's all found. All of it is found through Jesus. Through Jesus, who we worship. And we've just celebrated Passover, the foundation of our freedom. We're coming up to Ascension Day, which is now the 14th of May, next month. We here ascended to the heavens. They're all looking. He's gone. But he said, no, wait for me. Wait. Go to the room. Go wait. And on the 24th of May, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. Because that was a day that changed everything. It changed everything. Because they walked and talked with Jesus. They touched. He was right with them. But now he's left. And now what? I'm going to send you one that'll help you to continue to do everything I've taught you to do. Just obey me. Obey all I've commanded. Baptize those in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and listen and be and adhere to everything I've commanded and taught you. Just follow that, because it's all in me. All the law has been fulfilled in me. Follow me and you will find life. You will find freedom. You will find truth. Because the power of what Christ has done is that he makes the relationship with the Father one that we're whole. Okay, we don't get to the Father through the law. Okay, it's all rooted and established through Jesus making a way for us. Okay, he has paid and fulfilled every legal requirement. Every legal requirement set in place for you to be presented before the Father. All the legal requirements were done through the Levitical law. Sacrifice that, presented, accepted. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the priest that paid. With that sacrifice, they now presented to you, and a family could leave and go home feeling less of the guilt of their sin. How are you presented to the Father? How do you access getting to the Father? You see, because the power is you have been declared righteous. Ask that little girl those questions this morning. You've been declared that. You have been made and presented holy before God. That you can stand in his presence. Wow. You all earned that, eh? You already all worked very hard for that. Because if you all do know yourself, we will say, oh, wretched man. Who am I that I might stand in this place? Oh, Lord. None of us are worthy, but the fulfilling of Christ, everything that was required of legally by the law to present and be before the Father has been paid so that you can stand in his presence. Amen. Scandalous, folks. It's by grace that you have been saved. Okay, the Spirit of the living God. And this, he has the power of what it gives you. By the law being fulfilled, you are now living with the power of a clear conscience. There's nothing more powerful to the believer. You've got to make decisions. You've got things that are hindering in your walk in life. Offense, like you said there beautifully. The offense was hindering you. Your conscience is not clear. But because of the work of the Lord, you can live with a clear conscience. That is your freedom. Because you're not worried about guilt, fear, and shame. Because it's been paid for. And you're alive in him. So what did Giorgio Rosa say? He said these words, I have absolute freedom. You have conditional freedom. Well, buddy, hate to break it to you. Your island is 3 km below the sea. Gone. You got nothing. Your freedom is not found in an island. Your freedom is not found by running away from the law. Your freedom is not found in your own strength. Freedom is found through Jesus Christ. That's the security that we have. Our freedom is not based on rebellion. Our freedom is based upon obedience, based on a relationship with the King of Kings. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all now, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, folks, day by day, in the image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So where there is guilt, there's a way back to freedom. Because the price has been paid. To follow that course and path. To set it right. You don't have to walk in guilt. You don't have to avoid the Father because of guilt and shame. You might avoid a traffic officer, but you do not avoid the Father, because He says, come to me. Come as you are. And you present yourself. And then through the blood of Jesus, you are presented and you confess and you ladle down and He washes you clean and gives you a clear conscience again. And you walk in freedom of the power of what He's done for you. That's the power of freedom. Because your freedom is your freedom. Okay? Your freedom from the law of sin and death that bound you, that held you down, okay, gives you the freedom now to walk with the power of Christ, with the power of a clear conscience. And I just want to wrap up with this. I am so thankful. Daily we must have gratitude and be thankful for this complete work that Jesus has done. Because I see so many people in this world bound, looking for freedom still. And it's not found out there. It's found through Christ. And it's only found to Him. The freedom for this nation will be coming when people get on their knees and submit to the King of Kings and not see themselves as above God. But when we humble ourselves before Him and we surrender to Him, we walk in freedom. And so I want to say to believers here this morning, as we are thankful for this, those believers who know Christ and you have fear, guilt and shame rattling you, there's a way back because the blood was spilt. The blood was paid for you to get back to that place of true freedom in the God Almighty. And there might be some of you here this morning who have never, made a commitment to Jesus. And you've heard about this King and you've seen people's lives and stuff, but you've never felt truly free. You've never fully experienced that sense of, oh, I can breathe again. It's found in Christ. And we want to give you that opportunity to surrender your life to Him this morning. If you've never submitted and laid down your life to Him as the King of Kings, it's the best decision you'll ever make. Because if you're still running around looking for freedom, you're never going to find it. Freedom is only found in Jesus. Because He's fulfilled everything of the requirement of the law that man couldn't uphold, and He put it all in Him. So if you want to get to know and walk in freedom, get to know Jesus. I was saying to the Alpha group yesterday, I've known Kathleen for 28 years. I know her a lot more now from when I first met her, just because of time. Time has given us the beauty of what we have. And we also argue. Never. Actually, last couple of nights ago. Over nothing. Over nothing. Yes, we argued over nothing. Who won? You've been married long enough to know you shouldn't go there. Yeah. We all win. We all win. That I'm sitting here, or we together this morning, means we're all one. Okay? Come, let's stand together. And I want to give you an opportunity to pray this morning. Let's all just close our eyes and just ponder on the price paid for your freedom. Because you see, it's in this freedom that we then sing these songs of, well, God, come purify us. Purify me. Why? Because I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like You in everything, Lord. Help me. And actually, that fire, you see, comes and consumes and kind of burns up. And He purifies you. But I want to give an opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning, and you know that you've never just said, I want to respond to Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. And you kind of never laid down and surrendered. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If that is you, just wave at me. I just want to acknowledge you this morning. If it's one person, it doesn't matter. If it's no, we are going to continue to do this. And trust. If that's you, just wave at me. Yeah? Okay? Right, buddy? I'll see that hand, okay? And I acknowledge that you are responding and wanting Jesus this morning. Okay? So after this meeting, there will be people that will pray with you and lead you in truth. Okay. Yeah, I've seen you here before and stuff as well. The Lord wants to touch your heart this morning. Okay. All right, anyone else? Then we're going to pray together and acknowledge what the Lord is doing and continues to do in our hearts. And let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we honor You. Oh, if it wasn't for the work and the price You paid, we'd be following some religious order and religious system, trying to please God. And we will fail over and over and over again. But Jesus, you came and gave your whole life in surrendering everything so that I now can walk in truth and freedom in what you've given us. And so, Father, I just speak to guilt this morning. I speak to fear over hearts this morning. I speak to shame. You have no place over hearts this morning because the blood covers that. The blood pays a price for all of that. And so just surrender it to him. Give it to him. Lay it all before him. And Lord, we are thankful. We are so thankful that our freedom is found in you, Lord Jesus. And we honor you by the complete and powerful work. That as we rest tomorrow on Freedom Day in this country, may our hearts be praying that true freedom will come through a people who arise, a people who surrender their lives to you. And we honor you today for your complete work. And we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Now that meeting's done, Bill.